Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word. As we are developing in this series, trying to develop a biblical view of ethnicity, racism, and justice, last week we talked about the issue of the Trinity, or not the issue per se, but God, our Trinity. And from there, we have to understand that how we are created, being made in His image, is so impactful to our understanding of how we need to view ourselves and how we need to function and how we challenge that which is a contradiction to that which God has created. And so this week we want to pay attention to the creation of mankind, the fact that we are the same, the fact that we are different, the fact that we are unique, and understand how that is applied to our lives as Christians, as we engage each other and as we engage the world. Now, with that in mind, if you look in the book of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis 1 to verse 28, we see that God created all that exists. And so you see, let there be, let there be, let there be. So in that reality, there's nothing that exists that doesn't come from God. Everything that exists declares the glory of the Creator. God created the heavens, the earth, and all that exists within the earth, such as the plants, the fruits, the animals, and all that we see. God created plants, fruits, and animals, and watch this, to produce after their kind. And you see that from verse 1 to verse 28, after their kind. God created mankind in their image according to their likeness, and that's important. So He says, let there be, let there be, let there be. And then when it comes to the creation of man, He said, let us make man in our image. And so that is important that we catch that reality that God spoke everything into existence. But then when it came to man, verse 26, let us make man in our image. And He goes on to talk about their role and responsibilities and all that they would do in the world. But the beauty of that is we were created in the image of God. So what does that mean for you and I? God created woman out of man, which is still in their image according to their likeness. Mankind produces according to their kind, which means they produce babies bearing the image of God according to the likeness of God. Now, that's important for you and I because in a world where we hear a lot of people believing that they're less than or greater than, in a world where people are believing that their culture, their ethnicity is superior, or one culture believing that they're inferior, whatever it may be, all of this does not compute when you understand that we all, regardless of ethnicity, was created in the image of God. So what does that mean for us? And I want us to take some time to just explore the implications of that and walk that through as we, again, trying to build a biblical view of ethnicity, racism, and justice. We have to learn the creation of mankind, how God created us, because that becomes the rebuttal, that becomes the refutation, if you will, against anyone who believes they're inferior or superior, or against anyone who believes that some particular ethnicity is born with something that the other is not. So with that in mind, implications of God's creation for mankind, the first thing that we see on this premise is that God created Adam and Eve, male and female. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 27, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him male, and female, He created them. So, the one big picture we see, that God created Adam and Eve, male and female. Now, the beauty of this is that being created in the image of God, He created them male and female. But the second perspective that I want us to grab from this is this. We all come through the one man, Adam, and one woman, Eve.
So there may be multi-ethnicities, but there's really only one race, and that is the human race. And the human race gets its identity, gets its origin from Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve gets their origin from God, who created us in His image. So the second point I want us to recognize here is that we all come through one man and one woman, Eve, and one man, Adam. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, he says this: "Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living." And what that is meant there is not all the living as it relates to creation, the birds and bees, etc., etc. All the living as it relates to man and woman. So therefore, there's only one race, the human race, multi-ethnicities. We all come from Adam and Eve, who come from God, made in His likeness. So that helps us to understand another simple premise. So since we all come through one man, Adam, and one woman, Eve, therefore we are all descendants from the first family, Adam and Eve. And Acts chapter 17, verse 26, notice what he says: "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Let me read that again. Think about what's being said here. "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation." We are all descendants from the first family, Adam and Eve. And that's important for us because as we come to understand that, that means that you and I are part of the same race, that is the human race, but yet we may be multi-ethnic. Notice he says he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. But even though, and I want you to think about this, and this is where we start to see the premise coming together for this particular sermon. Even though we are all descendants from one family, we are multi-ethnic in our existence, and that's important, but we're going to see that that means that we are the same, but yet different, and we'll see also unique. So we're building our premise here to begin to understand that we are just like the Trinity, same in essence, but yet different in person, but also distinct and unique. There will never be another Father, another Son, another Holy Spirit, but yet they are the same in the fact that they are having the same essence, God. God is, again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We all come from the same person, Adam, Eve, but yet we are different in multi-ethnicity, but yet we are the same race, the human race, coming from the same God. Notice in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 shows us that even though we're all descendants from one family, we see in the end we are multi-ethnic in our existence. And in the end, you see all of the multitude of nations, all the different kinds of people, tribes, and tongues standing there. Isn't that a powerful picture? But the next thing I want us to think about is this. Even though we're all descendants from one family, we are multi-ethnic in our existence, there, again, is only one race, and I keep saying that, and that is the human race made up of multi-ethnicities. And again, looking back at Acts chapter 17, verse 26, I want to read that because that's foundational for us. And this verse is going to bring us to some distinct realities here. "And he made from one man," again, every nation of mankind, "to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." So there's only one race, that is the human race, made up of multi-ethnicities. Now, let's break this verse down, because there's something out of this verse that I want you to see. There are two things that this sermon was based upon that I want you to see out of this. In a sense, we are the same. So think about that. In a sense, we're the same because from one man, every nation was created. So therefore, we are the same in the sense that we're all humans. We are all coming from one man. We're all created by God in his image. That makes us the same. However, we are also different. Meaning this, even though that we're the same, we're the human race, we all have the same eyes, ears, nose, different differentiations on that, but again, we all have that, and we all come from the same family, Adam and Eve, but yet, in the same way, we are different. Isn't that interesting? So what do I mean by different? Even though we're the same, we are multi-ethnic. Some of us are Asian, African-American, Anglo, Indian, Latino, you name it, and these multi-ethnicities, we are different in that I may not look like you, but yet I'm still part of the same family in the sense that we are part of the human race. So in one sense, we are the same, but in another sense, we are different. You're not me, I'm not like you. In other words, I'm African-American, you may be Anglo, you may be Latino. Either way, we are different, but yet we come from the same origin, which means we have the same essence overall, just like the Trinity. But not only in one sense are we the same, and one sense we are different, here is the thing that you need to understand about us, which is so profound that God has done. We are also unique. There would never be another you. There would never be another me. Even though we may birth children who have our reflection, our children are not us. Even though we may have family members that look like us to some extent, even a twin, they are not us. So what does that mean for you and I? Not only are we the same, not only are we different, but we are also unique. Look at Psalm 139, and I want you to look with me at verse 13 to verse 16. He says, for you, watch this, formed my inward parts, wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have, watch this, seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So that helps us to understand that yes, we are the same. Yes, we are different, but in all of that, we're also unique, just like the Holy Spirit, just like the Son, just like the Father, the same, different, but also unique. And being made in the image of God, that means that you and I are the same being made in the image of God, are different being made in the image of God, and we are unique being made in the image of God. So as we take that, what can we begin to glean from this? How should that impact you and I as Christians when we think about what we see with the racial divides and what we see with the political divides and all the tension that's out there where people are coming up with all these ideologies and all these ideals? I want you to understand from a biblical perspective, since we're all created in the image of God, there is nothing intrinsically different about any ethnic group in relation to ability, in relation to capacity, in relation to potential. Now let that sink in. I want you to hear me say that again. Since we're all created in the image of God, there's nothing intrinsically different about any ethnic group in relation to ability, in relation to capacity, in relation to potential. Walk with me again back at Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind. So that one man, let us make man in our image, that one man Again, we are made in the image of, per se, God used Adam and Eve to birth the rest of creation. But in that reality, even as we see that, and then Noah with his family, same thing, but they come from the origin of the original family, and we all come from God. So there is nothing intrinsically different about any ethnic group in relation to ability, to capacity, or potential. But now, hear me on this, because as we keep these implications, since God is no respecter of persons, he did not create a hierarchy of race that deemed one race less than or greater than upon the color of skin. This is a construct based upon the noetic effects of sin, the effect of sin on the mind of man. So there is no respect of persons. God did not create a hierarchy of race. That idea does not come from God. That comes from earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. There is no race less than or greater than. There is no hierarchy based on the color of skin. Look at these verses. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Here is Paul trying to help the Jews understand the reality of their relationships with the Gentiles / the Greeks. Look at what he says. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. There is no hierarchy of race that deems one better than or less than. Notice Acts chapter 15, verse 8 to verse 9. And God, who knows the heart, it says, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Again, in the book of Acts, again, opening up the gospel to the Gentiles. And we see then God beginning to use the agenda set forth to have all the nations come to be a part of this one church. And we see the church age beginning as we begin to see that process. But what's the beauty there? There is no hierarchy of race. From God's perspective, God is no respect of persons. So with that in mind, there is a gentleman that I want you to hear. His name is Jamar Tisby. He wrote a book called The Color of Compromise. Listen to these words. Skin color is simply a physical trait. It is a feature that has no bearing on one's intrinsic dignity. And we just see that as we've looked at the passages of Romans chapter 3, verse 9, and Acts chapter 15, verse 8 to verse 9, and Acts chapter 17. And then we looked at the fact that we all came from one man, Adam and Eve, going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. These verses are affirming what this gentleman has basically said. There is no particular intrinsic value as it relates to skin color. It's a physical trait. It has no bearing on the intrinsic dignity of you and I. Listen to these words by, again, this was quoted in a book by John Piper called Bloodlines, and this was Tim Keller's words in this book. He says, physical traits that we usually think of in defining a set of people are biblically marginal, biologically ambiguous, superficial in relation to personhood. The heart that believes one group of people are more valuable than another is a sinful heart, and that is called racism. The behavior that distinguishes one group of people as more valuable than another is sinful behavior, and that sin is called racism. So again, ladies and gentlemen, God is no respect of persons. He did not create a hierarchy of race. We are the same. We are different. We are unique, but we all have the same essence of being the human race, being created in the image of God. There's a book that was put out by Dr. Charles Ware and Dr. Ken Ham called One Race, One Blood. I want you to listen to the words that they have in their book. It says this, whatever feature we may look at, no people group has anything that is uniquely different from that possessed by another. Sure, there might be variations in size and color or shape, but they are essentially the very same features. With a proper understanding of what is happening beneath the skin, all of our so-called racial differences start to look very trivial, don't they? What a powerful, powerful word that we see here. So, as we understand this, I want us to close by thinking about these particular principles. An explanation of the origin of race consistent with creation will lead to human equality because we are all in God's image. Thus, if creationists are racist, they are being inconsistent with their framework. An evolutionary account of biological variety assumes that differences within groups reflect the fact that some are higher on an evolutionary scale than others. Thus, if evolutionists are racist, they are consistent with their framework. That was presented by Dr. Carl Ellis in his book, Free at Last. Isn't that powerful? See, if all people groups have the same origin, then all people groups are equal in the sight of God. Where there are premises, where there are policies, where there are procedures, where there is a propaganda that will promote a hierarchy of people groups that are greater than or less than, we are seeing earthly, natural, demonic wisdom in process. And I want you to think about that, because where there's earthly, natural, demonic wisdom in process, we will see confusion, we will see disorder, we will see every evil thing within the people groups and amongst the people groups. My brothers and my sisters, let us embrace God's view of mankind above and against any ideologies that promote something different.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713-510-4021. Or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Allen saying God bless you and have a great day.